begin reading in verse 41. The Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Let's pray. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that our prayer of each one of us will be that we genuinely desire to be an offering. Lord, we think this morning of the widow who gave her whole living to you. Father, I pray that whether or not we may be involved in full-time ministry, that all of us would truly desire to give our entire lives to be used by you according to your perfect will. Lord, as we think of this matter of giving, I pray that you would encourage each of us. Lord, it is a blessing to be a part of a giving church. And as we identify three simple signs of a giving church, I pray that we would thank God that those signs are evident and abound here at Fairfax Baptist Temple. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. When you think of a giving church, what God has done for us here at Fairfax Baptist Temple certainly is above and beyond the average. And we think about what the Lord has done here over 41 years. Truly, what has to be said and has to be said repeatedly is to God be the glory. Now, as we think about the church that is here before us and being started and growing from what God had already started, as Jesus reminds us back in the book of Matthew, what a joy it is to see that, yes, churches can grow. They can grow in difficult times. They can grow in difficult economic times. They can grow in difficult religious times, whether it's physical persecution or otherwise. And yet, at the same time, not all churches do grow, which is why I believe you and I have cause to give God extra thanks and praise for what he has done at Fairfax Baptist Temple. We have before us the story of the day of Pentecost, and while we do recognize that this was a special empowering of the church, as I've already indicated, I do not believe it to have been the start of the church, as Jesus has already said that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Of course, we see here in this passage that there were those that were added to the church. And how could you add to a non-existing organism? But when we think about this giving church here, it's very clear from our passage that a giving church is a growing church. You know, sometimes we think about growth, and it's important that we keep in mind that growth is in two factors. We think of growth as coming in numbers. We see here the souls that were added, about 3,000 of them, of course, all in one day. And what a supernatural way in which God had worked here. But you know what's exciting as we look back over the past few months and see all of the families that God has brought to Fairfax Baptist Temple? We see those, as we saw this morning, who are following the Lord in believers' baptism. We hear of those that are driving distances. I was talking to someone this morning, said that they drive from Maryland over 60 miles to come here, and the Lord is speaking to them about getting baptized, and they haven't yet made that decision, and they're praying about that. And I say, this is a testimony to a church that really does give. And of course, when we think about our giving, yes, we are talking about our finances, but beyond that, we're talking about a church that gives of all of our resources over to the Lord. You see here, these apostles had given themselves already to petitioning for God to work. Which is why if you look back to the very first chapter of the book of Acts in verse 14, the Bible says these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. You follow down to the end of that chapter, and Judas, having taken his life and having been one of the 12, came time for a selection of another who would fill that vacancy. And in verse 24, the Bible says, "And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." And then, of course, the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. But you see there, they were concerned. This wasn't something, what took place on Acts chapter 2, while it was something that God had promised from the Old Testament, at the same time, I believe it was a direct correspondence to their prayers to God. They were giving those petitions to the Lord. They were making their requests known unto God. One of the things that we always have to continue to guard ourselves against as a giving church is to think that somehow if we give of our finances, that that is substitute for giving our hearts over to God and for really seeking to give our lives over to Him. Which is why when we think about the whole matter of reaching the world with the gospel, it's important that all of us continually seek to see what more can be accomplished for God's honor and for God's glory. But they had given themselves to petitioning for God to work. And God did a tremendous work. And they had given themselves to proclaiming about God the Son's work that was already accomplished on the cross. Look in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 32. Acts 2 and verse 32. And here Peter is preaching to the crowd and he says, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." And down in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." It was interesting that one of the first time guests this morning told me after the service, he said, "You know," he said, "we've moved to the area recently and we're looking for a church." And I don't know the man. I'd met him for the first time this morning. Don't know about his religious background, but he gave testimony of knowing the Lord as a Savior. And he said, "What we're looking for is a church that preaches the Word of God." And he said, "While you may think that is easy, it really is a lot harder than it sounds." And that's true in this particular day and age. We find a lot of people that are not willing to really take the Word of God and preach what thus saith the Lord. We may spend time talking about all of the current political thought, talking about what philosophers have said. I've shared with you before and certainly would not remotely classify it as a church that would ever preach the gospel, but it was disheartening to me. For a period of several years back in our Spanish church, I had the opportunity of writing a column for a Spanish periodical, a Spanish newspaper, limited readership here in Falls Church area. But there was always a Catholic priest that had a column right next to mine. And just so happened one of the graphic artists of the newspaper was a member of our Spanish church at the time. And so she had talked to her boss to see about being able to kind of, if you would, put the other side or the other perspective alongside the Catholic one. And he allowed for that. And so they ran a column for a couple of years there. And during the entire time that my column ran, not one single time did the Catholic priests quote one verse of Scripture in what was a known religious column. Had a great following. That particular priest had over 1,000 people that would go to hear him give Mass. But I say, we talk about, you know, well, preaching, of course, everybody preaches, but not everyone proclaims the Word of the Lord. We need to make certain that as we do give of our finances, that we are equally concerned with giving forth the message of salvation as found in Jesus Christ. And of course, we see that not only did God allow them to grow in numbers, but they also grew in knowledge. That's what it says there in verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. It is exciting to me as a pastor to be able to see those who are growing in the Lord, to hear of those who are learning more about the Word of God, to see those that are having a heightened concern for reaching the lost, and realizing that what God desires for every one of us, myself included, is that we be in a continual spiritual growing process, literally until the day we take our last breath. And praise God, we can be. But it requires for each of us to make certain that we've really given our goals and our desires and our ambitions over to the Lord to be used by Him. We think of a giving church as not only being a growing church, but it is also a going church. A going church. Now, it's interesting, in verse 46 here, it talks about that they were daily in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. And while it could certainly be said that that was referring to part of the fellowship that they were enjoying among the brethren at the same time, I believe it would be most accurate to equally state that that would include those that would be in different houses that did not know about the gospel, that would come to those occasions, to those meetings, to those services, and hear about what God was doing. And of course, we think of the book of Acts, starting with Acts 1:8 and going throughout the entire book, and realize that it was from the church at Jerusalem that they were able to go and reach beyond Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And that's why when we think about our giving tonight, I deliberately wanted us to see the presentation from Cape Verde, which by way of reminder is an African country off of the western coast of Africa. If you're looking at the continent, it's about at 9 o'clock. And it's 10 islands that compose that country, 8 of which are inhabited and 2 are not. But a wonderful opportunity to see what God is doing there. But if God is going to bless Fairfax Baptist Temple, as we continue to give, we have to make certain that we are also continuing to go. That we go to our Jerusalem and go house to house, and then that we take it beyond our Jerusalem, and that we are continually focusing on reaching the world with the gospel. And too many churches today put all of the emphasis on their Jerusalem at the expense of the world. But I happen to believe that God will not bless a church that is not concerned about taking the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. You know, and sometimes we think about that task and we think about that responsibility and say, well, wait a minute, how is that possible? We're one church. We're in one location here in Fairfax. Well, you see, it doesn't require us to have a greater trust in ourselves. It requires us to have a greater trust in our God and what God can do. And that's why it is my continual prayer, as I trust it is yours, that God will continue to call young men and teenagers and grown men alike to go to the mission field, to take the gospel. And equally why I am very concerned that we as a church always seek to do everything that we can to be involved in a continual basis on reaching the lost with the gospel. Being away this past couple of weeks and being in a host of different environments, had an opportunity of witnessing to a Hindu man, and had an opportunity of witnessing on another occasion to a couple of other different attendants and places that we were. But you know, it's not up to us to have the harvest, to reap the harvest. The harvest belongs to God. It's up to us to go out and labor in that harvest. And God will bring in the results in His perfect timing. But a giving church is a growing church. A giving church is a going church. And lastly, a giving church is a glowing church. You see, as the Lord refines us for His honor and glory, we are a spiritual lighthouse in our community. And when you stop and think of all the problems that people have in Northern Virginia, and of course, when you go around the world and you realize how Some things are different. As I mentioned, the island on which Ariobaldo and Nielsa are serving, which was blew my mind to hear them state this, but there is no drinking water on the entire island. And yet it's an island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. But all of their drinking water is imported from another island there. And so water itself, which sounds like a joke, but water is expensive. Drinking water, that is. But you know, the greater need that they have is not for drinking water. The greater need that they have is for the spiritual water. It's for the waters from the fountain of life that come from Jesus Christ. And when we see what God is doing at Fairfax Baptist Temple, it is a blessing to know that we have a never-ending supply of spiritual abundant waters for every single person in Northern Virginia. And you see, as you and I grow in the Lord, are made strong in Him, as we continue to give, as we'll have opportunity of seeing in a little bit more detail here in a few moments, the different ministries, that we are able to see young people grow in the ways of the Lord. We are able to see an academy rear up children that come to know the Lord as their personal Savior in elementary school and don't have to get dirtied by all of the sin and temptation that is in the world that those who do not know Christ experiment with. We think of the joys of a giving church and realizing, yes, God has blessed us with beautiful facilities here at Fairfax Baptist Temple. These might be coming up from our Spanish church. If we could maybe give them some special section there for them to sit in, that'd be good, Conrad. There may be some more that are joining them. But we think about what the Lord has done here. I was with one pastor at this retreat. Pastor's up here in Baltimore. And he said, you know, he said, I've always wanted to come and see your facilities there at Fairfax Baptist Temple because I've heard so much about them. And again, not from a boasting standpoint, but why do we have these facilities? Because God has blessed us. Because you have been willing to take God at His word and to give to the work of the Lord. Of course, at the same time, it's important for all of us to remember that when we think about this wonderful blessings that we enjoy, that they truly do come from God, and that we need to make sure that we continue to thank Him for them. You see, as everything has taken place here, it says that they enjoyed fellowship, they enjoyed unity, but it says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now, and sometimes when we may have testimony services like the one that we'll have on Tuesday night, you may be thinking, oh, I don't know if I could say anything. Oh, I don't know what I would say. God just wants to hear you say, I'm so thankful that my sins are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you didn't say anything else, that is more than sufficient praise to God, thanking Him for your salvation, thanking Him for the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They were praising God. Because what had happened here at this church did not happen by coincidence. It happened because God chose to put His hand of blessing upon them. And what do we desire here at Fairfax Baptist Temple but that God would do the same? They enjoyed that singleness of heart. Of course, we see that they had actually taken all of their possessions and sold them and parted them to each one according to their need. And while there is no scriptural mandate at all that we have to take everything we own and sell it and give it to the poor, it again underscores the fact that this was a giving church. And I'm grateful that when we think of Fairfax Baptist Temple, that we can help needy families, even in our own church family. Thanksgiving time, we can help those to have a little bit extra on their table that maybe aren't quite as well off economically as others may be. I'm grateful that we do have a benevolence ministry here at Fairfax Baptist Temple and that we are concerned about the needs of our flock right here. We do want to help those that may from time to time find themselves out of work or perhaps a single parent who is struggling more than another home or family within the church. But let's keep in mind the way in which we're going to continue to be what God wants us to be as a church is as we continue to give. We give our finances. We give our hearts to the Lord. It was interesting that George Barna did a survey back in May of this year regarding tithing. And he stated what has taken place from an economic standpoint, and he says that in the immediate aftermath of the economic crisis in late 2008, 2 out of 10 Americans, that's 20%, had reduced their giving to a church or religious center. Then 14 months later, in January of 2010, both measures had increased. 3 in 10 adults had reduced giving to churches. The donors that were most likely to reduce church-related giving were those who identify themselves as Christians but are only moderately involved with a church, among others. He said that among those whose church giving has declined, 24% have stopped all giving to churches. 17% have decreased their giving by 20% or less. 12% have decreased their giving by more than half. And consistent with this trend, the Barna study revealed that the number of people who are tithing has also dropped. In fact, the practice of tithing has been relatively stable over the past decade, hovering between 5 and 7%. But currently, the national tithing rate is down to 4% of the adult population, which is significantly lower than last year's rate of 7%. And I'm grateful that in a church at Fairfax Baptist Temple, that our percent is far above 4 or 7%. But I just want to remind us, if we desire to continue to see God's blessings upon us, we have to continue to give. Hard times, great times. Let's just remember that all times belong to God. Now, as we think of trusting in our Lord, what God desires from every single one of us is our heart. And as we give that heart over to God, we can be a part of a growing church, a part of a going church, be a part of a glowing church, thanking the Lord for His abundant blessings poured out upon us as undeserving as we are. And yet, the Bible reminds us that he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. And my prayer is that all of us will give our hearts and our lives for God to use for His honor, for His glory, to see much more accomplished before our Savior returns. Let's bow.